Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting this morning consists simply of three words that you find in the middle of verse number 7 of 1 Peter chapter number 2. And there are simply these words: He is precious. He is precious. Now, it is true to say that the Apostle Peter was a man who faced many trials in his life. He had many difficulties and trials, yet with all his trials, he did not get bitter toward the Lord. In fact, it was the very opposite in his experience and in his testimony. And by the words of our text are proof of that very fact this morning, as he speaks here of Christ as Savior. He makes known these tremendous words in this great statement of truth when he speaks of his Savior and of his Lord. And he says, He is precious. As far as Peter was concerned, there was no one more precious to him than Jesus Christ, his Savior and his blessed Redeemer. Now, the reason for this testimony and for these truths, this truth that he states in these words, was really because of Peter's own experience of Christ in his heart and in his life and in his soul. It was a result of the Lord's dealings with him in his life that he could proclaim of his Savior and could say here as he writes that he is precious. You see, in this life there are basically two kinds of knowledge that you and I can acquire. There is knowledge that we gain maybe by hearing or by reading. And then there is knowledge also that we gain by experience. And the latter is always the best. And it was because of his own personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ that Peter could speak of Christ, and Peter could pen these words and could exclaim of Christ that he is precious. Christ was precious to Peter. But I want you to notice something else here. Not only was Christ precious to Peter, you'll see here from verse 7, what it says prior to our text, that he is indeed precious to every believer. He is precious to everyone, every man, woman, and young person who trusts him as Savior. Look at how Peter puts it at the beginning of verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 2. For he says, Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. And there Peter goes a step further. Not only was Christ precious to Peter, but here he spells it out that Christ is precious to every child of God. And you have many tremendous examples of that in the Bible. You think of Abraham, that Old Testament saint. Christ was precious to him. Remember what Christ said about Abraham in the Gospel of John. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He saw Christ by the eye of faith, Abram of old, and Christ was precious to him. Think of the words of the great Apostle Paul as he writes his letter to the church at Philippi, speaking of Christ. He says these words, he says, Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. As far as Paul was concerned, there was nothing in this world or no one in this world to compare with his Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, you think of the words of the psalmist David, and that very well-known psalm to us all, Psalm 23. How does David begin that great psalm? The shepherd's psalm. He says, The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And again, David penned those words because Christ was precious to him. And like manner, the Lord Jesus Christ is precious to every believer. Yes, he is precious to you and I in this meeting this morning who are saved by the grace of God. To you and I who have trusted him as Savior. He is indeed precious. That leads us to ask the question, why is Christ precious to every believer? Why is the Lord Jesus Christ the pearl of greatest price to every believer? Why is he indeed the lily of the valley? There is no one to compare with Christ. Why is he the rose of Sharon fair, as the Bible declares? Well, I believe there are three reasons why indeed Christ is precious to all who know him, to all who trust him as Savior. And it's those reasons that I want to set before you today. And I pray if you're a believer in this meeting that you'll be encouraged afresh and Christ your Redeemer. But if you're not saved, that even today, this Sabbath morning, this Remembrance Sunday, that you will come by faith to Christ and trust him as your Savior and know the preciousness of Christ as your Savior and your Lord day by day. First of all, we want to say today that Christ is precious because of what he has done in the past for his people. What has he done in the past for his people? Well, in the past, he has died for his people as their substitute. He died on the cross as a substitute for all of his people. Look at how Peter reminds us of this in verse 21 and verse 24 of the chapter. He speaks of Christ there and he says, Christ also, notice it, suffered for us. Verse number 24, he says of Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And there he's speaking about the sacrifice, the death of Christ upon the cross. What a death that was. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered the pangs of hell. He suffered upon himself not only physical suffering, but the very wrath of God that all of his people deserved for their sins. Think of how Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What a sacrifice that was. Today we think of the sacrifice of others for our freedom and our liberties, and it is right that we remember their sacrifice with thankfulness and with gratitude. But the greatest sacrifice of all is that of Jesus Christ, who gave his life, the Bible says, a ransom for many. And my, it is by faith in that same great sacrifice, dear believer, in the meeting this morning, that you and I have been saved. That you and I have been delivered from a lost eternity in hell. That you and I have been made inheritors of everlasting life and have a home in God's heaven. Many years ago, there was a steamboat floundering in the seas. And one of the crewmen, seeking to make the necessary repairs and to save the life of the passengers, lost his own life as he sought to do that work to save the life of others. Later on, in shore, those passengers whose lives were saved by the work of that crewman, they unveiled a memorial as a kind of tribute to what that man did. And on that memorial, did these words inscribed, "This friend died that we might live." And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I and all his people. He has died upon the cross that you and I might live. As the hymn writer says, life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Yes, he died upon the cross that we might live. That you and I might go to heaven, saved by his precious blood. My, in the past, he has died upon the cross for our sins. He paid the debt of our sin. He cried out on the cross, it is finished. He offered himself a once for all sacrifice of sin. He did something that you and I could never do ourselves. He paid the debt of our sin. He offered himself up as an atonement to God for our sins. What a price he paid. But also in the past, not only has he died on the cross as a substitute for his people, but in the past also he has made his people see their lost condition. Child of God, stop and think for a moment. In your unsaved state, what were you and I like? We were blinded by Satan and the god of this world. We were blinded by sin. Left to ourselves, you and I had no thought of God. Left to ourselves, you and I had no concern for our soul, no concern about Christ or the things of God. Then God began to work in her hearts, and by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, what did Christ do? He opened the eyes of her spiritual understanding. He took the scales off her eyes. You and I, who once were blind, were now made to see by the regenerating power of the Lord. And he caused you and I to see our need and to feel our need as a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner before God. He caused you and I to see the greatness of Christ and to see that only Christ could save us from our sins. But not only did he take the scales from off our eyes, by his quickening power, what did he do? Dear believer, he enabled you and I to call upon the Lord for salvation. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. The Bible says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. It says, and you have he quickened who are dead and trespasses and in sins. Dear believer in Christ, in the meeting this morning, if it had not been for the Lord's quickening power in your life and my life, then not one of us today in this meeting would be saved. Not one of us today would have any interest in the things of God or in the things of Christ. It's all because of his quickening grace and his quickening power. He has died for us. He has quickened us. He has made us alive unto God. For we were dead in trespasses and in sins by nature ourselves. But also in the past, my Christ has pardoned all our sins by his precious blood. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. By the blood that he shed upon the cross, that blood that has been applied by faith to our hearts, through that blood all our sins have been blotted out from before God's all-seeing eye. The hymn writer says, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Dear believer in the meeting, this is your portion in Christ today. Through the blood of Christ, the blood that he shed, that blood that has been applied by faith to your heart, all your sins are forgiven. All your sins are blotted out. All your sins are cancelled before the all-seeing eye of God. What does the Lord say? I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake. That is something that you and I could never do. There are people in the world today and they're trying all sorts of things, all sorts of schemes of man and of religion and rite and ceremony to take away the guilt of their sins, but they cannot do it. But praise God, through the blood of Christ, dear believer, you can rejoice today in the forgiveness, the pardoning of all of your sins before God. Oh, this is why Christ is so precious. I'm sure in the summertime you all love to go to the seaside and it's nice to go there on a nice sunny day, whatever, to walk along the beach. And as you walk along the beach, especially near the water's edge, you see your footprints in the sand as you look behind you. But think of what happens whenever the tide comes in. What does the tide do? It washes those footprints in the sand away. You can seek to retrace your steps, but you'll not find them when the tide comes in. They're blotted out, that they're swept away. And that's really what God does with our sins through the current of the Savior's redeeming blood. He washes our sins away into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. Praise the Lord. What a blessing to know the forgiveness, the pardoning, the blotting out of all our sins, all our iniquities. All our transgressions. Turning your Bible back to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is a great psalm of praise. And there the psalmist David is praising the Lord for many blessings. But the chief blessing here that he praises him for is the forgiveness of all of his sins. Look at what he says in verses 2 and verse 3 of Psalm 103. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Notice these words, "who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Go down to verses 10, 11, and 12. Look at what he says there. "He have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." What a distance. That's really the distance of eternity there. As far as the east is from the west, it is a distance that never can be measured by mortal man. This was David's portion. This was David's happiness. This was the rejoicing of his soul. This is why Christ was precious to him, why Christ was precious to Peter, why Christ was precious to Paul and to Abram of old. And believer, this is why Christ is precious to you and I as well today as believers in the Lord. The Lord has not dealt with us. He has not dealt with you and I after our sins. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. But as far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us. This is our portion because of the blood of Christ. The blood of the cross. Yes, Christ is precious because of what he has done in the past for those people. But secondly, this morning, as we move on with this little text, he is precious. I want you to see also that Christ is precious because of what he is presently doing for his people. What is Christ presently doing for his people as their great high priest, as their great intercessor in the glory? Presently, he helps us as his people overcome temptation in the Christian life. Notice what Peter says back in verse 5 of chapter 1. He says of the believer who are kept, he says, by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And my, the Lord is able to keep you and I from falling in the hour of testing and the hour of temptation. Turn in your Bible back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and the verse number 13. And look at this great promise, dear believer. And every believer is tested. Every believer is tempted. But here you have the wonderful promise of victory in the time of testing and in the time of temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says, "There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Christian, take heart this morning. Whatever the snare, whatever the test or the temptation, the Lord is able to deliver you. The Lord is able to give you victory. What an encouragement then to pray and to seek his help and to obey the Lord in the time of testing and in the time of temptation. The hymn writer says, "Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe his holy name in prayer." He helps you and I overcome in the time of testing and the time of temptation. But also we can say presently is one who has promised to answer our prayers. When we live in obedience to God's word and God's will for our lives. Look at what Peter says there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse number 12. Look at the great promise there about answered prayer. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." What an encouragement to pray. When we seek to obey the Lord and to walk in the center of his will for our lives, we can rest upon the Lord to hear and to answer prayer. Remember what Christ said to his disciples? He said, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Remember again what the Lord says to his people through the prophet Jeremiah. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. O child of God, this is the Lord's promise to you and I. When we put him first, when we obey his word, when we seek to live in the center of his will, we can call upon him in prayer for his help, for his grace. And the Lord still honors that promise because he says, I am the Lord, I change not. He is the unchanging Savior. And Christian, whatever the need is in your heart, in your life today, in your home, your family, your workplace, your circumstances that concern you in your daily life, take that need to God in prayer. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the throne of grace. Talk it over with the Lord. Lay that burden down at the Savior's feet. For he's the sympathizing Savior. The Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's a Savior that you can take all your burdens, all your cares, all life's problems, the worries of life, whatever those are. He is such a Savior that you can bring them all to him in prayer. He is a sympathizing Savior. He is one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the Bible declares. He is not hard-hearted. Oh, there is no heart, the hymn writer says, like the heart of Jesus, to bless the people of God. What did Joseph Scriven say of Christ? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. He can help you in the hour of temptation. He can help you, believer, in the time of need. Whatever that need is in your life today, I don't know it, but the Lord knows about it. You bring it to him in prayer. Pray through that matter. Pray over that matter. Cast that burden upon the Lord. Don't go around carrying that burden yourself or trying to make a way through yourself. Bring it to the Lord in faith and rest upon him in prayer. Then also we can say that presently the Lord is one who comforts his people. He strengthens his people by his grace and by his power. Remember the Lord's promise to Paul of old. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. In 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 it says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency may abound unto every good work. The well of God's grace is a well that never runs out. It never runs dry. It's an abounding well. It's overflowing with grace and power and strength to help you in the battles, the trials of life. The Lord says to you, dear believer, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, just over the page in our Bible from our Bible reading. Look at verse number 7 of this chapter. And Peter here was writing to believers who were going through and were about to face a tremendous fiery trial in their life's experience for God. And he says here in verse 7, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. He cares for you, dear believer. He cared for you so much that he left heaven's glory. He came into this sin-cursed world. He was mocked, he was spat upon, he was scourged, he was beaten. He was derided by men. He was nailed to a Roman cross and he bore himself upon himself the wrath, the judgment of God that you and I rightly deserve for our sins. And he cried out, it is finished. Is that not proof? Is that not a token? The ultimate proof, the ultimate token that he cares for you and I and all his redeemed people. The Lord is able to sustain you, Christian. Whatever the battle is, whatever the trial is, he can sustain you. The Bible says he is able to succor them that are tempted or tried. He is able. There's no limit to God. The things that are big to us are nothing to God. The problems that we think are insurmountable in life, they are nothing to the Lord. The Lord is the great I Am. He is able to do exceeding abundantly, the Bible says, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I remember some years ago reading an article in a certain Christian magazine. It was written by an elderly lady in her 90s. A lady who had emigrated from this country, I think, in the 1920s, 30s, when things were very difficult, went to live in Canada. She lived a long life. Her husband lived a long life as well. And they had many ups and downs and trials in their married life and their family life. But they lived to see grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and God bless them. But they were saved, and she knew and loved the Lord, that lady, as her Savior. But in that article that she wrote, it was really a word of testimony. And she was over 90 when she wrote that article and was simply given this title, My Praise Letter to Jesus. And it was full of praise and full of gratitude to the Lord. The Lord who had saved her, the Lord who had sustained her, the Lord who had helped her, the Lord who had guided her, the Lord who had directed her, and the Lord who had met her every need, and all the ups and the downs and the valleys of life. She had proved the wonderful sufficiency of the Lord, that the Lord is indeed precious. But finally this morning I want you to note that Christ is precious because of what he will do for his people in the future. Dear Christian, whenever you and I depart the scene of time, the Lord will be with us. And he will bring us safely into heaven. David could say, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He went on and said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David was secure in Christ. And believer, when you face the last enemy, that greatest of enemies, the enemy of death itself, you are secure in the hand of Christ. Turn with me over to John's Gospel, chapter 6. And I want you to look at this great promise of how every believer is secure in the hand of Christ. No believer who is born again of the Holy Ghost, who is redeemed by the blood of Christ, will ever be lost. Look at John chapter 6, verse 39. Look at what Christ says. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. What a portion to be secure in the hand of Christ. The Lord will lose nothing. None of the sheep of Christ will ever be lost. Also, dear Christian, Christ will be precious to us because through him, you and I have no judgment to face on the day of judgment. There'll be no condemnation for us on the day of judgment. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We're free from sin's condemnation. Why? Because Christ paid the debt of our sin in full upon the cross. When he offered himself a once for all sacrifice for sin, now we have nothing to fear in the day of judgment. We're safe, secure in the hand of Christ and sure of heaven. Look at how Peter puts it at the beginning of this great epistle. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Writing to God's people, he says, You have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, something that is eternal. And he says, Reserved in heaven for you. In the hand of Christ, secure. Nothing to fear on the day of judgment because our sins were judged upon Christ upon the cross. But also Christ will be precious to us in a future day because through him, dear believer, in heaven, you and I will be like him. Imagine that. Think of that today. We'll be perfectly like him. In heaven, our sanctification will be complete. It will be perfected. In heaven, you and I as believers will enjoy and experience sinless perfection.
Never again will we grieve over sin. Never again will we grieve over our own failings and shortcomings. Here on earth, the Bible speaks of Christ and says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Over in 1 John chapter number 3, in the verses 1 and 2, John says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Believer, because of God's grace and salvation, one day you and I are going to be made perfect, like unto Christ. On one occasion, Charles Spurgeon, he received a book from his friend, the Reverend Andrew Bonner in Scotland. Charles Spurgeon, he returned that book to his friend, and in that return of the book, he sent a message. He says, send me your autograph and send me a photograph of yourself. In due season, Andrew Bonner returned that book, and he sent this message with the book. He said, if you had been willing to wait a short season, you could have had a better likeness, for I shall be like him, and I shall see him as he is. What was Bonner talking about? He was looking forward to heaven, to being glorified with the Lord in heaven, to being made perfect, like unto Christ. Brethren and sisters, this is our portion in Christ today. Well, what a precious Savior we have today. We have peace and we have pardon for the past. You and I, we have strength for today, for the toils of the very hour that we find ourselves in. But we have a great hope, a glorious hope for tomorrow. All because of Christ. How precious he is. Unsaved friend in our meeting this morning, young person, older person in the meeting, man, woman, young person, boy or girl, let me say this. If Christ is to be precious to you, if you are to have peace with God for the past, if you are to know your sins forgiven, if you are to know strength in this life, in this present body, to live for Christ, to live for the glory of God, if you're to have hope for tomorrow, the hope of heaven, the hope of glory, then now in time you must come to Christ by faith, confess your sins to him, and rest upon his atoning blood to wash away your sins and to save your soul. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What does that verse mean? It simply means you realizing that Christ died on the cross for you. He paid the debt of your sin upon the cross. It means you confessing your sins to him, coming to him by faith just as you are, and asking him to save you, to become your Savior. Will you do that today? Oh, don't go out of this meeting unsaved, but close in with Christ and trust him today. Rejoice in him as your Savior. He'll be precious to you, and you'll be able to look forward to being with him in glory forevermore. We're going to close our meeting by singing together the hymn number 364. 300.